Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and tonight at 7 is the first and very possibly the only New York State gubernatorial debate. It's at Hofstra University, sponsored by Newsday and News 12 Long Island. WNYC will carry the debate live on the radio on both AM 820 and 93.9 FM. And during the debate, I will host a live simultaneous online chat on our politics website, itsafreecountry.org. So hang out with us during the debate, and we will share our running context and commentary with each other. Again, the debate live on the radio at 7 on WNYC and the simultaneous online chat on our politics website, itsafreecountry.org. One of the things about the debate tonight is that it won't just be Cuomo and Paladino. All five other candidates on the ballot are also included, and we will preview the debate right now by meeting all five of those other candidates. If you're not happy with either Cuomo or Paladino, if you don't like that choice, you do have options. So let's spend a few minutes with each of these five other folks. We will talk to Charles Barron, gubernatorial candidate of the Freedom Party, Howie Hawkins, candidate for the Green Party, Jimmy McMillan, candidate of the Rent is Too Damn High Party, Libertarian candidate Warren Redlick, and Kristen Davis running on the anti-prohibition party line. Charles Barron is first. Many of you know him. He's been in the New York City Council since 2002. His district spans East New York, Brownsville, East Flatbush, and Canarsie. Councilman, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you very much for having me on, Brian. Sure appreciate it.
And tell us why you're running for governor.
Well, first of all, I think that the two-party candidates that are Cuomo and Paladino, bad news for New York State. They're going to balance the budget off the working-class families of this state. Both of them said they'll shrink government. Both of them said no new taxes. That means they're going to take pension away from workers. That means they're going to take health care away from workers, freeze wages, and lay off workers, and then cut vital services in our city and state agencies. Anytime you have to balance a budget and you come in and you say no new taxes is off the table, then you know the workers are going to suffer. I'm calling for a progressive taxation package that will include a personal income tax, a PIT surcharge that will regress or progressively go up the line, you know, 1.5 if you're making $250,000 to $500,000, 2.5, $500,000 to a million, 3.5, $500,000, a million to five, and then on up to about 5.5% over $10 million. If you do a progressive taxation, you can get anywhere from $8 to $12 billion. And then if you do a stock transfer tax coupled in that, along with the closing of corporate loopholes and not allowing tax-free bonds to float around here, make the developers pay, we can get billions of dollars, and we won't have to lay off workers, and we won't have to keep balancing the budget off the backs of poor, struggling working-class families in this state. And I think that I'm the only candidate on the stage that has balanced the budget, a city budget, eight times, and had to study the relationship of the state budget to the city in order to make that happen. And I voted against a couple of the city budgets that I thought was too harsh on the working-class families. I have the experience, I have the leadership skills, and I have a constituency. We got 43,000 signatures to get on the ballot. Paladino only got 25,000, and Cuomo didn't have enough respect to go out and get any. So I think the state is ready for this kind of change and this kind of leadership.
Are you willing to risk being a spoiler and have Carl Paladino, with the things that he has said about poor people and black people and all the other things that he would represent, actually be the governor?
I consider that an insulting question, but I understand why you ask it. That's an insulting question. No votes are in anybody's pocket. I'm in it to win it. I would be the best governor for this state. I'm not in it to entertain. I'm not in it to spoil. That assumes that somebody has votes. Every one of us have to earn the votes of the people of this state. I've earned that. I was there for 32BJ when they got arrested fighting for their jobs at the Empire State Building, not Paladino or Cuomo. I was there for 1199 when they fought for their positions in health care. I fought for them. I was with Roger Toussaint and TWU when they struck, and he had to go to jail. We were there for them. We were there for DC 37 when they were fighting for housing. I'm there in our communities around police brutality, Foreclosures, predatory lending, you name it, I have been there. I provided leadership in this state. I am not in it to spoil. As a matter of fact, Cuomo's the spoiler. If he would get out, I would get more white votes.
I read that you would abolish the MTA. Is that
absolutely
true?
Absolutely. Those authorities need to be really checked out. Listen to this, Brian. It makes no sense. We have a Department of Transportation on a city level and a Department of Transportation on a state level. We don't need these authorities. These are quasi-government groups that siphon off public money, and the people on the boards of these groups are clueless about transporting 8 million people, 8 million plus people in this city, and even more in the state. So I would give the responsibilities to DOT in the city and state. That way we'd have more oversight and more control over what's happening with transportation. This MTA has two cooked books. They took the Metro cards away from the children along with the state, had to give that back, and it just it's not necessary. These authorities have to be some dismantled and abolished, and others transparency and tight monitoring. I would abolish that. In addition to the progressive taxation package, I would designate a good portion of that to the transit fare. Therefore, we will be able to reduce it or even eliminate it. We get $3-some-odd billion from the transit fare. Instead of it continually going up, we should have a dedicated line to reduce it. And the same thing I would do for CUNY, to get the free tuition and SUNY free textbooks, by having a dedicated line toward higher education.
You think the city or the state could afford free tuition again?
Absolutely. If you have a progressive taxation. We have free tuition during the Great Depression, Brian. We built 2-3 new CUNY schools during the Great Depression.
But not for many students. It was very selective then, not for many students.
Exactly. So I say that because it was predominantly white then, and now it's a larger people of color, foreign students. I think that we can get to free tuition. I did as a chair of the higher education, a fiscal feasibility study of free tuition. We gain, CUNY does, $500 to $600 million from tuition, and they put in hundreds of millions of dollars to TAP and other programs to pay the tuition. Well, put the money in the higher education budget and eliminate the tuition. And I would eliminate differential tuition, where you have tuition for certain programs, doctors, medical programs, and then for philosophy or something like that, it's a lower tuition. That's a class of division. And I would also not allow them, I would fight against giving the tuition policy power to the Board of Trustees instead of to the State Assembly, which is being proposed now. I would protect CUNY students and the faculty.
City Councilman Charles Barron, running for governor. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
We are talking with all five minor party candidates for governor, everybody other than Cuomo and Palladino, who we have invitations in to for next week. All five minor party candidates for governor on the ballot in New York State. They will also be on the stage with Cuomo and Palladino in tonight's debates. And by the way, if you want to know more about all the candidates for governor, we've also compiled a bullet points list of their major campaign platform positions, and that is on our politics website. It's a freecountry.org. Up next is Kristen Davis, who is running on the anti-prohibition party line. Ms. Davis, welcome to WNYC.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Prohibition of what?
Oh, well, part of my platform is to end the prohibition on marijuana, end the prohibition on gay marriage, and to legalize casino gambling, all three of which, well, with the exception, obviously, of gay marriage, the two being geared towards restoring economic growth here in this state.
And how would you legalize marijuana?
Well, I mean, it's on the ballot in California, so it's not so far-fetched that New York should follow suit. It's, you know, obviously geared towards restoring economic growth. The CDC just published a study that showed the amount of New Yorkers to be 1.5 million smoking pot on a monthly basis. If you took that number with an average use per month and the retail price and extrapolated the tax revenue, it would bring in about $1.5 billion new tax dollars into our state. You know, all of these other candidates for governor are talking about cutting spending. No one else has a plan to bring new revenues in. I agree that we need to cut spending, but we're $56 billion in debt. Cutting spending is not enough.
So you would regulate marijuana and tax it. You would treat it much like alcohol, in other words.
Sure, I would treat it much like tobacco, which brings in $1.6 billion in new revenue into this state. Obviously, there needs to be an age limit. There need to be laws about driving under the influence, much like you would even prescription pills. People obviously shouldn't, abuse marijuana. However, there's enough medicinal assets to pot that we need to start looking at, solutions to bringing in growth here in the state economically.
You're best known before this run for governor for stating without evidence that you set up former Governor Eliot Spitzer with prostitutes working as a madam. And so many people are reacting to your candidacy as somewhat of a joke. Is that how they should see it?
Well, first off, there's plenty of proof that I provided call girls for former Governor Eliot Spitzer. Last week, Irma Nietzsche, a call girl who used to work for me, came out in InTouch magazine and then subsequently to the New York Post about seeing Eliot Spitzer through my agency numerous different times. I also voluntarily submitted to a lie detector test about 10 days ago to prove emphatically that I knew that Eliot Spitzer was a client prior to my arrest. I also knew of him committing other crimes by tipping off escort agencies while he was attorney general. So I don't think there's a question of whether or not Eliot Spitzer ever used my agency. In terms of, my candidacy, I think something that people, should know is, politics is not, it's not that interesting to the mainstream. If I wanted the press, I would release my black book, which, as we all know, sex scandals are far more interesting and generate far more press. The difference between me and the career politicians in this state is that I was held accountable for my actions. They're not. I went to jail. I served 4 months in Rikers Island. My assets were seized. And, I committed a crime, and I did the time for that crime.
And so part of your platform,
a second chance, mm-hmm. and my second chance, I choose to advocate for the causes I believe in.
And so part of your platform on the anti-prohibition party ticket is that prostitution and your role in it should be legal?
I personally feel strongly that prostitution should be legal. It would decrease sex trafficking by giving these women, by changing the mindset and allowing them to seek legal protection. 250,000 women were sex trafficked in the United States last year, and I've spoken to a dozen or so of these women, and the main reason why they don't call the authorities is because they're being told, and they're naive, that they'll go to jail for prostitution, and they're more afraid of going to jail than they are of speaking up for their own welfare. So I personally would like to see prostitution legalized. However, I would settle for decriminalizing it so that way we could reduce the sex trafficking so that women who are either forced or the women who choose to work in the sex industry would be afforded legal protection under the law.
And let's take that last one before we run out of time. Legalize casino gambling. Just open it up to anybody anywhere basically who wants to start a casino?
No, I think we need to have some pretty clear guidelines. I've put together a proposal which would include 3 casinos in the Catskills and 3 in other upstate locations. If you look at the revenue, $4 billion coming into Jersey, $2.3 billion into Connecticut, we need to think of ways to generate revenue here and jobs. So if we were to legalize casino gambling in select upstate locations, we would create, at least another $1 billion in new tax revenue and an immediate 20,000 construction jobs. I'm the only candidate with a plan to immediately create jobs and bring new revenue into the state.
Kristen Davis, running for governor of New York on the anti-prohibition party line. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on the air.
We're talking with all 5 minor party candidates for governor of New York. And again, they will all be on stage with Cuomo and Paladino in their debate at 7 o'clock tonight, which we will air. Up next is Howie Hawkins from the Green Party. Mr. Hawkins, welcome to WNYC.
Good morning.
Where do you start? We've had prominent Green Party candidates for governor of New York for many years now. Tell us what the Green Party is emphasizing in 2010.
We're calling for a Green New Deal. We have an employment crisis, a jobs crisis in the state, so we think we need public jobs for the unemployed. And that will also be a stimulus to the economy to create more private jobs. We're losing health care, especially when we're unemployed, so we need a single-payer Medicare for All system in the state. We need fully funded public schools, free tuition at SUNY and CUNY, and a big public investment in renewable energy and mass transit, which will itself be a stimulus for a sustainable green economic recovery and also help us head off runaway global warming and climate catastrophe. So we call that the Green New Deal, and we say we can pay for it by progressive tax reforms, starting with the stock transfer tax we've been rebating since 81. That was $16 billion last year. That right there would wipe out the $9 billion projected deficit and give us a $7 billion surplus. If we tax the bonuses that the bankers paid themselves with federal bailout money to the tune of $20 billion last year at 50%, that would be $10 billion more. And then if we went back to the progressive income tax structure we had in 1972 with 15 tax brackets that went through the whole income spectrum instead of what we got now, 5 brackets that flatten out when you get to middle income, we could give 95% of New Yorkers an income tax cut and still raise $8 billion more. 16 plus 10 plus 8 is $34 billion. Subtract the $9 billion deficit, you got $25 billion for the Green New Deal. So it's a matter of taking the rich off welfare. They got to start paying their taxes, and then we can provide the needs people need.
Charles Barron, who was on earlier, was articulating a number of the same things at the core of his campaign, making a much more progressive income tax, using some of the money for free tuition at CUNY and SUNY. How, for people who are looking for an alternative along these lines to Cuomo and Paladino, how would you argue that they should vote for you instead of Councilman Barron?
Our goal is to be a third major party, a third major party. We want to be at the center of the political dialogue in New York. What we're presenting, I believe, represents better the mainstream of New York's progressive political tradition than the two major party candidates. We have a prosperity plan. They have austerity plans, which we believe is politics, not economics, because the money is there if the rich would pay their taxes. So we are not a party that has a beef with one of the two major parties. We're not trying to influence them. We're not one of these satellite parties that cross-endorses the major parties. We want to be a third major party. So if people want a third major party, which the Gallup poll a couple of weeks ago said 58% of Americans do, the Green Party is your vote.
Why do you think that hasn't happened yet? Because the Green Party is a known entity. Its name is recognizable. It has had candidates for governor for quite a while in New York State now, and with exactly the goal that you just stated. Why do you think it hasn't been more successful at that so far?
Well, we've been successful at the local level. We've elected 4 mayors. They're mayors of villages. We've elected half a dozen councilors, some school board members. At the local level, where we have the capacity to reach the voters with our message and establish ourselves as serious alternatives, we can get elected. The problem at the state level, look at the media narrative. It's all tit for tat, Cuomo, Paladino, and then the other 5 of us running are called fringe candidates if we're mentioned at all. So public awareness of the Green Party, I beg to differ with you. There's still lots of people, I get this all the time when I'm campaigning. What is the Green Party? Never heard of you. So we're still getting known. I think our message resonates with people in terms of its substance. And then we've got that other obstacle that this is a winner-take-all system, a two-party system, a corporate rule that's where the rich put their money into both parties. And like old boss Tweed, who used to say, you can vote for anyone you want as long as I get to pick the candidates, they give us the illusion of choice. So we're trying to break through that. We're like a startup company still trying to build our customer base in a market where you've got a duopoly. I think we're making progress. I think we're on the edge of a breakthrough. But it takes time to establish that base. And so we've been doing it locally. The thing we get this year with a good vote, 50,000 votes, gets us a ballot line for the next 4 years, which will enable us to run candidates at every level for the next 4 years much more readily. And if we can reach 200,000 votes, that would put us third on the ballot line. And we're not a cross-endorsing party. We're an independent party. And I think that will help get us into the dialogue. So next time we run somebody for governor, it'll be a 3-way race.
And so let me ask you about one more of your party platforms related to that. The Green Party would like to replace the two-party system with a proportional representation system. Explain how that would work and why it would be in the people's interest.
Well, the legislative branch would be proportional, and that means every party would get representation in proportion to the vote they receive. Most modern industrial democracies have this. The United States is behind on that. New York had it for the city council between 1939 and 1948. So that's the basic principle. So the legislative bodies, you would have a multi-party democracy if we had a system of proportional elections instead of what we have now, which is winner-take-all from single-member districts. And the dynamic there is people like what we say, the Greens, progressives, but they vote for Democrats who they don't really like, but as the lesser evil because they're afraid of the Republicans. And that's what the current system of electing the legislature tends to breed. And you end up in each district with basically one-party districts because the majority party runs that district. And take Sheldon Silver. He has no opponent in his district down there. And that's true all over the state. A lot of these assembly people have no opponents. You have a proportional system, then every vote counts toward getting your party its fair share of representation. So that's why we advocate a proportional system for the legislature.
Howie Hawkins running on the Green Party ticket for governor of New York. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We're interviewing all five of the non-Cuomo or Paladino candidates for governor. Two to go. They will all be on the stage tonight for the gubernatorial candidates debate at Hofstra University. We'll be carrying that live on WNYC at 7 o'clock. And again, a reminder that I will be hosting a live online simultaneous chat during that debate. WNYC political reporter Ozzie Paber will join me, and we hope you join me and talk to each other in this live simultaneous online chat as the debate is going on tonight. That's at our politics website. It's afreecountry.org. More to come in a minute. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll talk about the Fox versus Cablevision smackdown. And some good news for baseball fans if you're a Yankee fan. The Yankee fan tonight, we understand, is not on Fox. However, the National League playoff games are on Fox. So if you're following the Phillies and the Giants, well, I guess they have, let's see, do they have tonight off? Yeah, they have tonight off. So if baseball is your thing and you're frustrated by Fox not being available on Cablevision, at least you get a day of reprieve. And for people in the New York area who predominantly follow the Yankees, of course, that game is not on Fox. However, coming up in a little bit, we will talk about why these two media giants are smacking each other around with regular viewers as the victims. And we will take your calls on your alternatives, your friends, your generous friend's living room, which bar you go to watch the game. Of course, we know there are a lot of other shows on Fox, not just sports, that you may be angry about missing. And we will invite you to share your hacks. How are you getting around the Fox Cablevision blackout online or in any other way? So coming up in a few minutes, we'll invite you to share your hacks as we talk about Fox versus Cablevision. But first, we have two candidates to go from the Libertarian Party and the Rent is Too Damn High Party as we interview all five minor party candidates for governor of New York. And next up is it Jimmy McMillan? It is Jimmy McMillan, candidate for the Rent is Too Damn High Party. Mr. McMillan, welcome back to WNYC.
Rent is too damn high, and it's great to be back, man. Thank you so much.
You ran for mayor of New York City on the same platform, now governor. How come?
Well, I ran in 1993 for the same reason. As an independent investigator, I found something. I had a vision that no one else had, no one could see what I was talking about. I've seen the rent rising in 1983. From 1983 to 1994, we lost 15 million businesses. No one could share my vision because no one could see it. They were so busy. We were living good at the time. But after the attack on the World Trade Center, something happened. the real estate brokers, all the big-time developers. This was the dream they was waiting for. This was the moment they was waiting for. Everything, the cost of living hit the roof, and it hasn't stopped yet. I'm going to shut it down, and that's what I'm here to do.
How are you going to do it?
My first order of business is to declare an economic state of emergency, and after following that, a housing homeless emergency bill. But the economic state of emergency will give me the power to roll rent back, roll prices back. If you are a business owner, a store owner, that effect, and you pay $8,000 a month in rent, you would be paying $4,000. If you pay real estate and property taxes, it will be cut in half. If you are a tenant, your rent will be reduced to $650 a month in buildings built before 2001. If you are if you live in a building built after 2001, the rent will be reduced to $950 because of the cost of living and expenses they had to pay. And I have also, for the building owner who feel like, hey, I'm getting cut short, I don't have any money, well, we have prepared an NOL, a net operating loss plan for them to apply. Our main goal is to create the jobs and get this economy going. Jobs and economy, jobs and economy. We are the answer to the President Barack Obama's plan that not his own Democratic constituents can't see. So we are something like the Tea Party for the Democratic Party. We represent Democratic progressive values, and they represent conservative values with Tea Party. But we are here to let the president know, not even your party members, they are campaigning, trying to disassociate themselves from the Democratic Party. You know who they are, but they're not saying they are a Democratic member of the Democratic Party. But we are proud to say the president has put in a great plan. 61% owned of the General Motors, $800 billion bailout, $787 billion stimulus. Now we're 60% owned of the General Motors. And General Motors just spent $3.5 billion on buying the credit union and put $10 billion aside for auto loans. Now, hold on. Why am I paying water taxes? Why am I paying sewer taxes? Why the mortgage rate hasn't been reduced? Why are students still paying student loans? Why haven't there been a waiver in student loans? What the banks did, Bank of America and Chase Bank, they waived all foreclosures. We're doing the same thing to help it out. We've been talking about this since 1993, all the way in last year's election, until Jimmy McMillan is not a crackpot. Jimmy McMillan is someone who found something that can't get anyone to listen. Why? Because the real estate, landlord and real estate association have their hand in every elected official in the state of New York. They are not going to cut off the hands that feed them. Why did they just pass a state budget? They passed a state budget now, 4 months before the general election, because they wanted people to vote for them, or they put a lot of good stuff in it. And the people bid for it. During the primary, they went out and voted for the same people over again. I'm not saying don't vote democratically. I'm just saying don't vote for the same one. When the World Trade Center market crashed in 2008, they were watching CNN. Every single one of them. So don't tell me that you have a lot of good plans for the state of New York. You're not talking about the young people. Rooms, $900 a month, a week. A studio apartment, $3,000. A one-bedroom, $4,000. A two-bedroom, $9,000 a month. That's what it's all about. It's about these children have someone fighting for them. They're paying college tuition. We're going to waive all that. We're going to fight to get it waived because a lot of that is higher education. But what do I have a U.S. senator, two U.S. senators in Washington, D.C.? Who are they representing? The president had the packages are there. They're not representing the people in the state of New York. I want them out. I want y'all. You know who they are. Well, I don't want to vote Republican, so I may not have no choice but to put them back there. Rent is too damn high. People say, oh, you're a one-issue candidate. Well, you can't pay your rent, you can't be here. Out of business, going out of business, lost out of lease. You can't afford breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Roof over your head, food on the table, and money in your pocket. Families are working 8 hours a day and 40 hours a week. And some a third job. We got gangs in the street killing each other. Nobody can understand why. Because mama and daddy got to work three jobs. Nobody's home to monitor the children. You have an obesity crisis. People are talking about, oh, well, we're going to put obesity programs in the school. We're going to cut back on soda. Well, if mothers and fathers didn't have to work three jobs and to pay the rent and giving all the money towards rent, working 8 hours a day and 40 hours a week, landlord get every dime, then maybe the families can feed their children properly.
We have about a minute left. After the state of emergency expires, how would you enforce the rent remaining no longer too damn high?
We're terminating the rent guidelines for rent control by rent stabilization board. Under chapter 11, I believe, title 11, chapter 7, something, I'm all fumbly now. It's a constitutional violation for those boards to exist. We're going to set up reforms at the top board, but mainly the court system. Court system needs to be reformed. There's nothing into the court system to help the tenants. If you go to the court, if you get evicted, you're out of there because the judges are going in with the landlord because the court system is so outdated. People are getting evicted right now as I speak. They need someone to fight for them. I am that voice. Rent is too damn high. If you hurt your foot, you go to a doctor. You can't pay your rent, you come to the rent doctor. Jimmy McMillan, you will not leave the state of New York. If you're out of New York and you hear this message on the Brian Little Show, I want you to come back to New York because New York will have a brand new look and a brand new time. New York is here to stay. Rent is too damn high. But like you said, when the rent is reduced, then Jimmy McMillan is going to take a vacation. I'm going to go get a pedicure, a manicure, and sit back and enjoy out my 64 years of age living that I should be doing. That's what I'm going to be doing.
Jimmy McMillan, gubernatorial candidate in New York for the Rent is Too Damn High party. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We are interviewing all five of the so-called minor party candidates who will be on the ballot along with Cuomo and Palladino for governor of New York. They will all also be on the stage tonight for the debate at Hofstra University at 7 o'clock, which we will air live. We have one candidate to go, and he is Warren Redlick, candidate for the Libertarian Party. Mr. Redlick, thanks a lot for coming on WNYC.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Libertarian, many people consider the philosophy of the Tea Party movement, but most people see Carl Palladino as the Tea Party candidate in New York State this year. Maybe you should start by distinguishing yourself from him on a policy level.
I think fundamentally Mr. Palladino has demonstrated he lacks the temperament and judgment to be governor. I'm the person who really represents what the Tea Party movement is about, which is a central focus. When I spoke to some Tea Party events, I said that the motto of the Tea Party movement should be, and I think it is, that we need to stop wasting money. Mr. Palladino's off, you know, every day it's a different issue when he's off track and he's losing the focus. The focus is about how we've got to get the reckless spending under control. And if we do that, then people will have more of their own money in their own pockets, and we can take care of the things that are important, like schools and parks and bridges. I think that's what the voters are looking for. I think that's what the people of New York need.
What are the first things you would do to that end if elected?
Sure. One of the things that stands out to me in the course of the campaign, we were looking at various issues of spending. The head of the New York Public Library, I asked people to guess what do you think he makes, and people will guess $100,000, $150,000. Some people will figure out I'm going somewhere, and they'll say $250,000. He makes $689,000 a year. Now, I know it's a big library, but it's a big country, and he makes $250,000 a year more than the president. It's a big state, and he makes $500,000 more than the governor. There's too many overpaid bureaucrats. 110,000 bureaucrats in New York State make over $100,000 a year. One of the first things I would do, probably the first thing I would do, is to work with the legislature to impose a cap on bureaucrat pay at $100,000 a year and a cap on pensions at $75,000 a year. That would save almost $3 billion in the first year. And then I would eliminate corporate welfare, which insiders call economic development, although you can see it's really not developing our economy. And that's another $3 billion a year. And by doing those things, we're going to have more resources available for the things that we need to take care of.
Just on the New York Public Library, President, is that a public position? Is he paid by taxpayers? I know they raise a lot of private funds.
Three-quarters of the budget comes from New York City and New York State. He is listed in the see-through-ny.net database as a public sector employee, yes. They will make some artful dodge that he's paid from private funds, but the library is three-quarters funded by public funds. It's a dodge.
What about ethics? Albany is widely considered a corrupt place, either through actual illegal corruption or campaign finance and lobbying rules that give away the people's power to special interests, as many see it. How corrupt do you think Albany is, and what would you do about it?
Well, there's two things there. First of all, every election you get, some candidate comes along and says, I've got this new ethics law, and this time it's going to have teeth. Well, how many times are we going to hear that before we figure out it's a song and dance? We have an agency called the Commission on Public Integrity that's supposed to foster public trust in government. Well, how's that working out for you? We don't need more ethics laws. Whatever ethics laws we impose are going to be imposed by incumbents, and they're always going to protect themselves. The answer is to reduce the size of government, because what did Lord Acton say? Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. The more power we put in government, the more corruption there will be. And so smaller government will mean less corruption. And the other thing you mentioned, special interests. This is an election where we have a candidate who claims he supports reforms to campaign finance and transparency in campaign finance laws. And yet Andrew Cuomo has taken $23 million in special interest contributions. He's had 30 contributions of $50,000 or more. One of them from a small parking lot in Manhattan, $55,000. It's owned by a Delaware corporation. We don't know who's behind it. If he really believes in transparency, he ought to tell people who's behind the parking lot.
You're the fifth of the five non-Cuomo, non-Paladino candidates that we've interviewed today. Now people have heard everybody who's on the ballot. The others have been, in effect, progressive candidates. You're the only conservative alternative to Carl Paladino. Are you concerned, with as much as you said against Andrew Cuomo here, that if a lot of people consider you a more serious libertarian than Carl Paladino, that you'll wind up swinging the election to Andrew Cuomo?
No, I'm not worried about that. I think you missed something. I'm not just the only conservative alternative to Carl Paladino. I'm the only centrist alternative to Andrew Cuomo. Andrew Cuomo is left of center. The other four so-called minor candidates are left of Andrew Cuomo. Carl Paladino is just, in the end, I think most people have written him off now. He just demonstrated he's not a competent candidate. He's not somebody who's competent to be governor. So I'm getting a little full of myself when I say it, of course, because I still am the libertarian candidate, but here's reality. If you're not going to vote for Cuomo, who else are you going to vote for? Because Paladino just has become not a viable option. I don't think Carl Paladino is going to come in second place.
How far are you predicting that you're going to come in second place?
Well, I would take first, but I don't see any storm clouds and lightning and miracles may not happen. But I think Carl Paladino is in serious trouble, and I think there's a chance I can do something big here.
How far do you go, by the way, as a libertarian? I've interviewed other Libertarian Party candidates for office who you mentioned, the New York Public Library for the president's salary. Many libertarians say they would abolish public libraries because the private sector could provide that.
I think there's a libertarian utopia that I share the vision of the libertarian utopia. I just recognize how far down the road utopia is, and I think we've got to talk about practical solutions that everybody can agree on. So libertarians might be angry that I say we've got to, you know, make sure we take care of our schools when they want to eliminate our public schools. But the reality is most people are concerned about our schools, about our parks, and our bridges. And I'm the candidate who will actually come up with the money to make sure we take care of that by not wasting it on things we don't need. You know, the Thruway Authority is another great example. We don't need a Thruway Authority. We have a Department of Transportation. Close the authority, close the tolls. There's so much waste in agencies like that. We can really take care of things if we do it right.
So last thing, you have said that you would abolish the Public Integrity Commission and the Office for Prevention of Domestic Violence. You think those are not state functions?
The Office for the Prevention of Domestic Violence is that work is really done at the county level. I didn't say I would eliminate it at the county level. It's the state agency whose primary function is to advise the governor on domestic violence issues. Did they advise him to tamper with the witness, or did he not listen? If they're not delivering on their primary function, the reality is, and I work with county officials and local officials, the domestic violence work that's done is done at the local level and the county level, and the state gets in the way. That's the problem. We don't need all this power concentrated at the state with all these high-paid bureaucrats who are getting in the way. Let the local officials do their jobs.
Warren Redlich, the Libertarian Party candidate for governor of New York. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And there you have all five so-called minor party candidates for governor. They will all be on the stage tonight with Cuomo and Paladino in the 7 p.m. debate at Hofstra University. Remember, WNYC AM and FM will air that debate live tonight at 7. And during the debate, I will host a live simultaneous online chat on our politics website. It's itsafreecountry.org. Now, in advance of that debate, we have a poll question right now at itsafreecountry.org. We are asking, will you listen to the debate for entertainment value, to help you choose a candidate, or for some other reason? And if it's another reason, we have a comment page for you to explain it. So again, this poll question up right now. Will you listen to the debate for entertainment value, to help you choose a candidate, or for some other reason? And we have a comments page for you to explain that other reason if you choose option C. It's at our politics website. It's afreecountry.org. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Fox versus Cablevision. What to do?